Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. John Sloan is one of the most important American painters and printmakers of the 20th century. Best known for his gritty realist paintings of working-class life in New York City, Sloan was a founding member of The Eight, a group of artists who rejected academic traditions and focused on depicting urban life. But his biggest impact came as an art instructor, something the Delaware Art Museum showcases in its John Sloan and His Students exhibition. In this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny catches up with Delaware Art Museum curator Heather Campbell Coyle for a chat about Sloan and the exhibit highlighting his work and teachings.
Tell me about this exhibition, the works of John Sloan and His Students.
So this exhibition is actually looking at John Sloan's role as a teacher. John Sloan and His Students. So most of the work is actually by Sloan's students. And this exhibition includes about 40 works of art, all from the Delaware Art Museum's permanent collection. Some of them actually belong to Sloan in his lifetime. And these are the works by him that relate to his teaching in some way, specifically his teaching at the Art Students League of New York, and then works by his students who studied with him there. This exhibition was assembled in part to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Art Students League, which is being celebrated this year.
Let me ask you about the history of the Art Students League and the role that it's played in American art.
Sure. The Art Students League is one of the most prolific art schools in the nation, founded in 1875, as arts things often are, by a bunch of younger artists who weren't happy with the other art school, big art school in New York, the National Academy of Design. They founded this at the time, sort of more liberal program. So the Art Students League is also, it's a cooperative. It's run by the students to a large degree. They have a student board and they choose a president from their faculty. So it is, it's always been a very kind of progressive art school in that sense, and a very much a community school. You can take classes there, or you could for a long time, for as little as a month at a time. So kind of everybody studies there. And one of the things about the Art Students League is that study there in Sloan's time and before was really focused on figure study, on the human figure. So many artists would go there and take classes, even if they had other art training, in order to have, just better grasp of figure drawing and figure painting.
How long did John Sloan teach at the League?
So he starts in 1916. Teaches regularly through the early 30s, then leaves for a couple of years after a spat with the board, and then comes back and teaches, I believe, 35 to 37. So almost 20 years of students coming through, which is an enormous number of people. There's over, I think we have a spreadsheet with over 250 artists whose names we know of.
How was Sloan as a teacher?
Sloan, it seems to have been a very inspiring teacher. His students really come together behind him. Some of the fun things that you'll see in the exhibition are photographs, but also a magazine that his students put together they called the Sloanian Nut. So this was a sort of unofficial organ of the league, or of his students specifically. Really, they called themselves Sloanian Nuts. They were that much, that well devoted to their teacher. He certainly absorbs many students into his life, has lifelong friendships with some of them, collects their art. His second wife is one of his students. After the death of his first wife, he marries one of his former students, Helen Farr. And it is, of course, due to her that we have this extraordinary collection at all.
When you look at the work of Sloan's students, I wonder if you see elements of his style showing up in their work.
Absolutely. And also, absolutely not. It totally depends on the student. Sloan was very much pushing artists to, get out and explore. He wasn't a particularly modernist artist. He's always painting figures and places, recognizable things. But he is encouraging his students to go see the most, progressive art that is out there in New York. So he is a teacher for some of the abstract expressionists like Barnett Newman and Adolf Gottlieb. But he's also, many of his students certainly pick up kind of where he leaves off. So Sloan had, in the beginning of his career, and by the time he lands at the League, Sloan is best known as a painter of city pictures. He is known for painting sort of everyday life in New York, particularly women moving through the city, and the architecture of the city, the amusements particularly of the city. And actually, in his time at the League, he would begin doing more figure painting, and his own path would shift. The last third of his career is almost all nudes and portraits. But many of his students, and actually many American artists, really pick up where Sloan and his Ashcan School colleagues leave off in the teens, and city painting becomes ever bigger deal as you get into sort of the social realist and American scene painting of the 30s. So many of his students' works, you certainly see a sense of that interest in the life around them. Some of the really fun pictures in the show are actually images of artists working at the League. There's one of Sloan giving a lecture. There's others of the lunchroom there. There's images from Coney Island. So there's definitely, there's a Helen Farr Sloan of a speakeasy in the early 30s. So there's a sense of sort of the city around them that was certainly Sloan's milieu in many of the works. But then there's also works that are completely non-objective. There's an Alexander Calder print. There's an the don't look anything like Sloan's works. And I think to some degree, you get a sense of artists looking more like his work earlier in their careers. But some artists really stick with that. I mean, the interest in painting, you know, life in the city is something that, well, kind of still happens, right?
I love how you talk about him as this evolution in his career moving toward painting more figures and this notion of, yes, he's a teacher, but also kind of a lifelong student as well, taking his craft in new directions.
Absolutely. Sloan says in the book Gist of Art, which is about, you know, his work as a teacher and things he taught his students, but he says that, you know, he started figure painting really to stay a little ahead of his students, began doing much more figure drawing and much more figure painting. And he's always trying to evolve and try new things. I am convinced to this day that most of the artists I know age better mentally than anyone else because they're always curious, always trying and exploring new things.
Tell me about the Ashcan School.
Sure. So this is one of the real strengths of the collection here at the Delaware Art Museum. Sloan and several of his friends, they get to know each other in Philadelphia. This is John Sloan, Robert Henri, George Lukes, William Glackens, and Everett Shin. Some of them, other than Henri, they're working at the newspapers. They're really grounded in drawing everyday life because it's their job. And then they slowly, one by one, begin to move to New York, many of them working as illustrators, Henri working as a teacher throughout all of his career. And they are get known in the early 20th century for painting everyday life in New York. You have lots of painting people painting pictures of sort of upper middle class life. You have American Impressionists giving you that sort of distant view of the city, all with beautiful mist or snow to kind of make a really pretty picture. What the Ashcan School artists become known for, although they're doing lots of other things, are pictures of sort of ordinary people, often in lower Manhattan. Lukes is painting a lot of images of the Lower East Side and the immigrant populations there. Sloan is painting in Chelsea and Greenwich Village, capturing the working class and artistic populations down there. And, you know, it's hard for us to look at his paintings now and be like, that's revolutionary. But people were so offended by some of these works when they were first being shown, you know, 1905, 1908, 1910. So the Ashcan School, for this, for a brief moment, is really pushing forward modernism in America by focusing on modern life as well as a modern style. But in 1913, with the advent of the Armory Show, which brings all of European modernism to a broad American audience, you know, Brancusi and Duchamp and Cubism and Matisse, it all sort of lands in New York for a month in February of 1913 and blows everybody's minds. And all of a sudden, Sloan and his circle aren't the most progressive artists anymore. But for a moment, that Ashcan School group is really leading the way.
As you're talking about getting into the less stylish corners of society, my mind jumped to what was going on in literature at that time, writing people like Upton Sinclair, Jacob Riis, also sort of shocking people with raw portrayals of how people live.
Right. And some of those people are running in similar circles. There's a lot of literature being done about everyday life in New York, about the less glamorous, about the difficulties of moving to the city. And these artists and these literary folks are running in the same circles sometimes.
What do you hope museum goers will take away from this exhibition?
I think it's a really interesting cross section of modern American art that's being made by artists who sort of come out of the same milieu and go in very different directions. And I think that's a really exciting opportunity. But also, I love that idea of teaching and lifelong learning being a really important part of what I want people to see too. We have a wonderful studio program here. Like, go out, take an art class. You might get inspired to do something really interesting.
Are there particular works in the show that really just stand out to you?
I think one of the things that stood out to me when I pulled this show together, I wasn't consciously thinking about this. It wasn't really till I was installing it that I realized the number of works by Sloan's female students. So the early 20th century is a time that more women are coming into art schools. More women are coming into lots of professions, right? There's just more opportunities, and how the strength of that work. And the playfulness of that work. I particularly adore the work of Peggy Bacon myself because she is funny as well as a great graphic artist. But yeah, just to get to see some of these works by women artists, some of whom their names aren't going to be as familiar, but they need some more study. People need to learn more about them. So hopefully people will get their eyes opened.
And about how many works are there in the exhibition?
It's about 40 works and then some things from our archives because we not only have the largest collection of Sloan's work. We also have his personal papers here. So we have 300 boxes and drawers of his letters and diaries and things he saved. So some of that will be in the show as well. So we have over 2,500 works by Sloan. Most of those are prints and drawings, but over 80 of them are paintings. It was given to us all by his student and second wife, Helen Farr.
Thanks to Delaware Art Museum curator Heather Campbell Coyle and our Martin Matheny for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. And we finish out the green next with History Matters, where we learn more about Odessa's 19th century Zur Church and its long-awaited restoration after closing its doors a decade ago. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.